Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we visit Patrick's Book Nook,
a place where we can go anywhere,
find friends to know and ways to grow.
Take a look. It's in a book.
Hey, it's a new week. It's Monday, right?
Monday. Yeah, we're over at your place down in the basement.
Yep. I want to reference the record store day shows that we did. Yes. And the one with Randall Brown.
Yes.
And he talked about the Flaming Lips beer.
The Dragons and Yum Yums beer.
Right, by Dogfish Head Brewery.
Uh-huh.
I tried it. I found it at the Giant here.
I've tried it as well.
Mm-hmm. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah,
it's
tasty.
Weird because it has like some weird fruit in it, and then some kind of like carrot juice or something is in it, but I thought it really had like a good bite to it.
Tasty.
I liked it a lot.
I love the packaging.
It was very expensive though.
Too, the packaging is incredible with that psychedelic design and the flaming lips on the side. It's really good.
Yeah.
Now I have one more note while we're clearing up all this personal business. How is the Avengers?
The Avengers.
You talked about
that last week.
Yeah,
that I was going to go.
You were talking about the Alamo Draft House and that you were going to go on Thursday, I believe we were talking about that.
I did go, and I loved the movie, but I'm kind of a fanboy on these Marvel movies anyway. So it completely worked if you've sort of been following these different stories. But the one thing I was curious, though, because in this movie, it's like it brings like this massive number of characters from different movies together, including the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I always liked because it was not only like superheroes, outer space kind of stuff, but also centered around like mixtapes.
The mixtape, yep.
And so I wondered, are they going to do anything with like music in this or how they, you know, to kind of carry that over? And they just did one little touch. And even my son, Patrick, he noted this too, that he really liked this, that basically the first time you see them in the movie, they're just sort of like flying in their spaceship or whatever. And they're all sort of rocking out to Rubber Band Man.
Nice.
And they're all kind of like singing along to it, like listening
Spinners.
To it. My son even noticed, he's like, that was a cool way to introduce them, that they're like listening to like an old song. And I said, yeah, that was it. And then that was it. Then that was just sort of dropped and there was no more. And then you know how at the end credits of the movie, they always list the songs played in the movie. And with these Marvel movies, you have to sit there and watch it because they always put like a little scene after the credits.
Yeah.
So you sit and watch
it.
Kind of like some podcasts will put like a little thing at the very end to get you to listen all the way through, right?
After the music fades out.
I
don't know of anyone that does that.
I've heard of that being done.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when all the credits come up and you see the list of songs, it's just one. Like it's like songs. Rubber Band Man.
That's
the Spinners.
Funny.
That was it, right? So that's funny.
That's really funny.
The only it was just this one little touch. It was kind of nicely done. Anyway.
It's very cool.
Okay. All right. So, but today we're talking about a different form of entertainment, different medium of media. We're talking about books, right?
Books.
This is Rockin' the Suburbs. It's a podcast about music, not movies.
Mm-mm.
I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And what were you reading recently?
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, I've got a book to talk about. It's a very special Patrick's Book Nook today because I have one book that usually we discuss two, but today I just want to talk about one. It's a very large book, but quite excellent. The book is called Facing the Other Way. The Story of 4AD by Martin Aston. So it's all about the record label
4AD. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
British label.
Highly influential British label.
Yes.
Yeah. But before I jump into that book, it's just such a good book. There's a couple others I've been reading I want to mention because I think they're all worth reading if you like rock biographies. I went back and read Jimmy McDonough's biography of Neil Young called Shaky. That's an excellent, excellent book.
Yes.
He got a lot of access to Neil. It really tells the story in an amazing way. Fantastic book. I read Aaron Osman's book about Jason Molina called Riding with the Ghost. That's really tragic and sad, but also an awesome book. And then I read Ian Christie's Van Halen biography, Everybody Wants Some.
Oh.
And Ian's actually a guy I know from back the early days, and he's an author. He also wrote an excellent history of heavy metal. But let's turn to Facing the Other Way. The book is written by Martin Aston. He's been a longtime journalist. 673 pages, Jim. It's a huge book, but it's so beautifully done. He got access to everybody that was an important part of this 4AD story. The main story really here is about a guy called Ivo Watts Russell, who founded the label in 1979. He was at the time working at the Beggar's Banquet record store. And the original idea behind the record label was that it was going to be kind of a farm team for Beggar's Banquet. So they would, Ivo would find bands that he liked, and he had very unique tastes. He was a very eccentric, kind of different individual. A lot of people who met him when he was younger just said he's already like an old man. He just, you know, shows up right before the band goes on and he leaves, and he likes to read and be by himself, and he has extremely singular taste. And in the late 70s punk, he was listening to like Nick Drake and a lot of singer-songwriters in the 60s. It was very out of time. And so this began, they signed Bauhaus. As they begin to discover more unique bands, 4AD became more of its own label. And if you care at all about any of these bands I'm going to name off really quick here, Jim, then you got to read this book, okay? Cocteau Twins, Birthday Party, The Pixies, Throwing Muses, The Breeders, Dead Can Dance. His name is Alive Lush.
Yeah.
Unrest, a band from DC, actually ended up on 4AD at one point. Color Box put out a record, Clan of Zymox. Another big band is the Wolfgang Press. If you like any of them or you know, are into them at all, this book is just a must because it really goes into a lot of the personalities and how things got done. You know, the story is fantastic. It goes into some really interesting characters. Robin Guthrie of the Cocteau Twins had a big influence on the label. He's a notoriously cantankerous character. The other thing about 4AD that I think was really interesting is that they had this guy called Vaughn Oliver, who was a designer. And all of the 4AD record covers have a visual style that's very similar to each other.
Oh, okay.
You know, like all those Cocteau Twins records are gauzy and kind of weird. Even if you think about the first two Pixies records, the Come On Pilgrim with sort of the hairy man on the front, and then Surfer Rosa with, you know, kind of the topless dancer there, and it's all designed. And he used to put lyrics on the front of the records from some songs and like song titles on the front. And rarely was there a straight up image of the band. You know, it was all very much of a piece, and 4AD has become a very collectible project. And the way Ivo interacted with artists was very much about the artists, and they all adored him. Especially, there's a lot of moving stuff from Kristen Hurst of the Throwing Muses about how Ivo helped her through. And the book just tells an amazing story of a guy who was committed to doing things the right way, putting out what he liked, and not necessarily really worrying about the commercial consequences. So I just think it's a fascinating look through this super influential label and how somebody really made a difference by really sticking to his vision.
Does it go in depth at all about like the bands themselves, or is it more just sort of the about the label and the workings of the label?
Well, the way, no, it really intertwines the whole thing. Okay. It's beautifully done. He does it by year. And, you know, another thing about 4AD, and I'm sure there are people out there who are way more into the label than I am, but they had a very special cataloging system where they would put an A, B, or C, depending on if it was a single, a full album, or an EP. And it's an extremely highly collectible label because of the way they did all these creative things. But it breaks it down basically by saying 1982, it's you know, BAD 21 to BAD 48, right? And they would just cover the records that came out in that year. But when he talks about a band, he goes into the band's whole backstory. Almost every single artist talked to him for this book. So, you know, they remember some things one way and some people remember them the other way. But it's just fascinating. All the guys from Wolfgang Press, really interesting. And the one band I discovered, it's a band called Diff Juzz. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. D-A-F-J-U-Z. And they put out some instrumental EPs. Like, look at the song titles of this record, Sound Pool. They're all like two words, you know?
Right.
It's really, really interesting.
Two letters.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's some beautiful instrumental, very kind of wispy and gauzy and evocative. And these records meant a lot to people. Another band, and actually this ended up, Ivo in the book says it's its all-time favorite signing for 4AD, was a band called the Red House Painters. I don't know much about them. I've, you know, put a few things on my playlist. Rare and blistering sun shines down on gray. There with you, I feel the time when air gets dark. You know I don't spend days like this, caught up and lost, times of you that I miss. I can almost hear sailboats in the sea, hear noise and screaming, weaving in and out of happy music box sound. That was a really important group. And he also did this thing called This Mortal Coil. I don't know if you remember, do you remember that? It was kind of a collaboration where he produced and they did a lot of covers of older songs. They did one on Song of the Siren. It was an old Tim Buckley song that was a pretty big hit for them in the UK anyway. So I think anybody who's either if you're into 4AD, this is a must. You may have already read it. It came out in 2013. It just came across my radar. But even if you're a fan of music and any of those bands I mentioned, you should really read it.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Now, are you a 4AD collector?
No.
Okay.
But I do have a few things. The Throwing Muses band, I love those band. First two or three records a lot.
Yep.
And probably of all those other groups I was talking about, I mean, there's not a Unrest, I was a huge fan of them, but they came out on Teen Beat in the U.S., so I never really thought of them, right, as like a 4AD band. Cocteau Twins, I never really got into them all that much, but they're a massively popular band for 4AD. Of course, The Birthday Party I loved.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. And I Melt With You was a 4AD single, although I think, again, over here it came out on Sire or something, was licensed in America.
Well, that's the thing, is if you're a fan in the U.S., you don't quite associate these bands all together with 4AD, like you're saying. So it'd be interesting to read more about what it was like in the UK.
Yeah,
right?
that's where the real impact was. And they, you know, over there in the 80s and early 90s, you could still be an independent label and have a giant hit and get on, you know, up to the charts. And the independent chart was really important. So I just think it was fascinating. One of the best ones I've read in a long time.
Really? Okay, yeah, very
really good.
And what's the name of the book again?
Facing the Other Way. And the author is Martin Aston. So
okay.
I think it's great. And if you're a Kindle reader like me, Jim, it's only $5. So
okay.
Can't beat that.
And you mentioned a few other books, and did you failed to mention another book that you've been that you read recently that's not music related, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I read the Caddyshack, Story of Making of Caddyshack. Yes. A good friend of mine was so kind to give me that book.
I invented my own kind of grass, too. Did you know that? Look at this. This is registered. Carl Spacker Bench.
Oh, yeah. I've felt grass like this before. I've played on this stuff.
This is a hybrid. This is a cross bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass, featherbed bench, and Northern California Sensimilla. The amazing stuff about this is that you can play 36 holes on it in the afternoon, take it home and just get stoned to the bejesus belt that night on this stuff. I got pounds of this stuff. Here.
No, thank you. No, I don't.
Let's have a little bit of this. I get the big Bob Marley joint. Look at this. Here, try this.
And it's really hilarious. It's a fun read. It goes by really fast. It's just such great stories of how they put that movie together and basically had no idea what they were doing. Yeah. And somehow it came out to be such a legendary. And it's a little sad, too, because the one of the main driving forces actually took his own life before the movie even became, you know, this iconic one of the producers. Yeah.
Something Kenny.
Yeah, that's right. Doug Kenny.
Doug Kenny. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really sad. He never. You know, he put so much effort and work into it, but he never was able to see it become this American cultural institution that people quote, you know, all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's just, yeah. If you've ever seen the movie or played golf, you quote that movie or even other things, right. You know, so.
All right.
I'll just mention one other book that a close friend of mine was so nice to give me. The Stevie Nicks has a newer biography that came out. And I'll just say this. It's one of those artist-approved biographies that kind of tells everything in a very, you know, nice light. But they're not enough pictures for my taste. So I could have used more pictures of Stevie back in the 70s.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
That's it.
Very good. So now we leave Patrick's book nook.
We do.
And
close the door of the oak-paneled room.
We're going to go back to where we keep the records.
Yeah.
And pull some stuff out of the collection that we're going to play the rest of this week,
it's gonna
right?
be fun.
Okay. So you won't want to miss that. So what you should do is not just listen to the show today, but
every day.
Also, speaking of things you can buy like books, you can also visit teespring.com. Mm-hmm. Search for Rock in the Suburbs. You can find some t-shirts that we have for sale and some coffee mugs.
Yes. So that's right.
Check that out and do that and help support the show.
Mm-hmm.
You also can tell us about any books that you've read recently, music related or Caddyshack or other. And we do shows from time to time where we highlight listener feedback.
Yeah.
And people can do that by calling 612-440-1984 or emailing rock@suburbspod.com or hitting us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at suburbspod. And by the way, I don't know if you've broken the news to Sam yet, but we're getting a second intern.
I know. It's very exciting.
Specifically to handle the large volume of mail that we get, right?
We get a lot of listener correspondence now, which we greatly appreciate. So it's becoming a giant corporate setup. We got Sam over there writing the articles for the website, maintaining that, keeping the song list updated, which is a chore in itself.
Right.
Oh, by the way, all while he's interning for CBS News
in
New York.
So amazing.
Somehow he finds time to do that. But we got another job that we're gonna kind of work on. So sort of the other side of the business.
That's right. So we have a second intern coming on, who you mentioned. Sam is busy. Our second intern is like a PhD candidate or something like that, working on his PhD. So it's gonna be great.
Another proof that our fans are way smarter than we are, our listeners.
So that'll be good. So we'll get a better handle on the feedback.
I think it's gonna be great
because of this extra help we're gonna have. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get out of this. Let's move on. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We were just talking about your deck. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Tell you more about the deck.
Get it cleaned up for the
people. Want to know this?
That's right. The summer is coming quickly, and we got to get out there. So you're,
I know,
thinking about a little bit of new furniture, maybe
new
a
furniture,
rearrangement. Okay,
redoing it.
All right,
making it more of a relaxing, casual atmosphere.
I like
as opposed
that.
To the, I don't know, stressful one it is now, right?
That's right. It's very stressful out there on your deck.
That's right.